Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 469. We are going to be doing the books of Titus and Philemon. We might get into Hebrews. The first chapter of Hebrews might happen. Let's see how it goes here. But in case any of you have missed any of my shows, they are all available on my website. That's www.pastor-steve.com. That would be the proper website. There's other guys that go out and use Pastor Steve, but they're not me, okay? So let's get started in Titus here. In the Greek, it is Titus, okay? And this is a letter to Titus from Shaul, that'd be Paul. And as usual, I will have to read the whole chapter because when he gets started, the punctuation is such that it does not give time for a break. He just runs on. That's the way he wrote. So I'll do the whole chapter, then I will do all the notes and explanation for the chapter when I have finished. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Shaul, a servant of Elohim and an emissary of Yeshua Messiah, according to the belief of Elohim's chosen ones and knowledge of the truth according to reverence in expectation of everlasting life, which Elohim, who does not lie, promised before times of old but in its own times has manifested his word through preaching, with which I was entrusted according to the command of Elohim, our Savior, to Titus, a genuine child according to our common belief. Favor, compassion, peace from Elohim the Father and the Master, Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you should straighten out what was left undone and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If anyone is unreprovable, the husband of one wife, having believing children, not accused of loose behavior or unruly, for an overseer has to be unreprovable as a managing one of Elohim, not self-pleasing, not wroth, not given to wine, no brawler, not greedy for filthy gain, but kind to strangers, a lover of what is good, sensible, righteous, set apart, self-controlled, clinging to the trustworthy word according to the teaching, in order to be able both to encourage by sound teaching and to convict those who oppose it. For there are many unruly men, senseless talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths have to be stopped, who upset entire households, teaching what they should not for the sake of filthy gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This witness is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply in order for them to be sound in the belief, not paying attention to Yahudi fables and commands of men who turn them from the truth. Indeed, all are clean to the clean, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, no matter, is clean, but both their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unfit for any good work. And that ends chapter 1. Now, I will go into the explanation and the notes. There are a number of them. He gives the standard greeting here to Titus, who had been working as a scribe with him. Basically, when Paul would dictate letters, etc., etc., Paul's vision was going at this point. He was getting older and he was having problems with his vision. So he would dictate and usually had a younger man transcribe the letters himself. Now he says he wrote these. Well, he did in a way. He signed off on them with a signature. But usually... he had somebody do the actual writing, because if he couldn't see well, he couldn't write well. And he was, at this point, still up in the prison up in Rome. He was allowed to go out on limited things, but would eventually be beheaded up there. So he wrote all this prolific stuff on how to do things for all the subordinate disciples, those that were under, you know, the next generation of the preachings. And Titus was one of these. He was a righteous man and was going to be overseer, I guess, for a while of this assembly in Crete. So this is his instructions to him. Now, verse 4 of chapter 1, to Titus, the genuine child according to our common belief, favor, compassion, peace from Elohim the Father and the Master, Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. Okay? You can reference 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 8, 23. Galatians, book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 3. That's Galatians 2, 3. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Now we come down to verses 6 through 9. And for verses 6 through 9, you can reference 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 7. Verse 6 says, if anyone is unreprovable, that means anybody that was very righteous beyond any kind of controversy, someone that they couldn't attack, okay? This guy was living correctly, and they couldn't find fault with the guy, okay? Husband of one wife, because if somebody's going to be leader of a congregation or an assembly, and he has all these wives, now they were allowed to marry more than one at that point, he would have to spend so much time keeping them happy that he really couldn't do his duties to the congregation. He wouldn't hold up, you know. He gives the qualifications for an overseer or a bishop or whatever language you want to use here. The overseer is good. He saw over the doings of the assembly in that area. He's not self-pleasing. Means he doesn't just do what he wants to suit himself, not wroth, in other words, somebody with an even temper, not somebody that's going to just unload on people all the time, not given to wine, sober fella, okay, no brawler, he didn't pick fights and get into fights, not greedy for filthy gain, he wasn't a money lover. Verse 8, kind to strangers, okay, he was a nice guy. A lover, what is good? He liked to do righteous things and live the right way. This is the leader of a congregation. Righteous. He obeyed the laws and the teachings of Yeshua. Set apart. That means he was dedicated to the work of Yahweh. He was Yahweh's man in that area. He didn't have any other real interests. You know, he was set apart for that work. Self-controlled. He had good self-control. Somebody got in his face, he could control himself. He didn't go off on them. Verse 9, clinging to the trustworthy word. In other words, if it didn't go according to Scripture, it probably was dubious. Well, that holds true today, doesn't it? There's all this nonsense and doubtful disputations, and people go off on tangents, and they get away from the actual message of the scripture, and they get into things that are of the world and just don't really have anything to do with following Yeshua into eternal life. They just don't. Verse 10, verse 9 has the convict those who oppose sound teaching. That means confute or prove wrong. Okay. Verse 10. For there are many unruly men, senseless talkers and deceivers, especially those with the circumcision. In other words, people that were relying on being circumcised to make it into the kingdom, they were arrogant. They looked down on those that were not circumcised, because these were people in different lands that hadn't followed the original commandments and had come over and were converted to Christ. They were Israelites, but they'd never been circumcised. And those of the circumcision had an attitude. That's the best way to put it, okay? Whose mouths have to be stopped to upset entire households. Teaching what they should not for the sake of filthy gain. In other words, you paid eventually. These people were sellouts. Now, these were people of Crete, okay, that Titos was in Crete. Verse 12, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. He was putting down his own people and was braggadocious and contentious. And Shaul warned him of this. Now they were teaching all this Talmudic stuff, and their wives' tales and fables. And it says in verse 14, not paying attention to Yahudi fables. All right, that is the Talmudic teachings. They had all kinds of different stuff. And fables here is number 3454 in the Greek, and that is muthos, as taught, something that was taught, not paying attention to Yahudi teachings, the stuff that they taught from the Talmud. You had to be very careful, because they would interject all this stuff in and try to put it in as part of the belief. They had to really watch it. Not paying attention to Yahudi fables and commands of men. That's the traditions of the elders who turned from the truth. They were going along with the Talmudists and teaching for doctrine the commandments of these Talmudic elders, which are in direct opposition to the teachings of Yeshua Messiah. Oh, boy. He says that they are defiled and unbelieving, and their mind and conscience were defiled in verse 15. And verse 16, they profess to know Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unfit for any good works. All right. In other words, they gave lip service. Oh, we know God. We follow his commands. We did this. But then they didn't do it. They were completely opposite of what the actual teachings were. Now, for verse 16, you can reference Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 22. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. 1 John 2, 4. And Jude 4, verse 4. Jude, verse 4. Well, now we're going to get into the second section here in Titus. Verse 1. But you speak what is fitting for sound teaching. The older men are to be sober, serious, sensible, sound in belief, in love, in endurance. The older women likewise are to be set apart in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of what is good, in order for them to train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, blameless, workers at home, good, subject to their own husbands, in order that the word of Elohim is not evil spoken of. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Show yourself an example of good works in all matters, in teaching, uncorruptness, seriousness, soundness of speech beyond reproach, in order that the opponent is put to shame, having no evil to say about you. Servants should be subject to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in every way, not back-talking, not stealing, but showing all good trustworthiness, so that they adorn the teaching of Elohim, our Savior, in every way. For the saving gift of Elohim has appeared to all men, instructing us to renounce wickedness and worldly lusts, and to live sensibly, righteously, and reverently in the present age. Okay? Present age. Looking for the blessed expectation and esteemed appearance of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yahshua Messiah, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to cleanse for himself a people, his own possession, ardent for good works. Speak these matters, urge and convict with all authority. Let no one despise you. Now that ends chapter 2. All right. It talks about the older women in verse 4, training the young women to love their husbands. They set an example for these young women. That's what they are to do. And the young women would see how the older women were and want to emulate them because they were outstanding in the community, basically. And, you know, they well, you need to be like Sister So-and-so. She's really, you know, and then they would, oh, yes. They would, women teaching the women. That's what the women are to do. The women are not to teach men. They're not to have authority over a man. But they are to teach the children and other women. They are to have their own study groups and everything. And the older women that are well founded in the word are to be the teachers. That's the whole thing. They're not to be boisterous, etc., in the assembly. But the women are to be together, and they are to learn. And if they have any questions, they ask one of the men elders, you know. That's good. Verse 7. Show yourself an example of good works. Reference Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. And it gives all the characteristics, soundness of speech beyond reproach, in order that the opponent is put to shame. Somebody that was trying to counter the good teachings, you need to be well founded in the word to counter them. And if you do, and you show them to be false, they are put to shame. Servants, talks about servants. If you work for somebody and you're in their home and you're a servant, you are to be a good servant. I mean, you're a hired man, you're a servant. It doesn't say slaves here, it said servants. But servants are of a lesser position than the master himself, and you should do what you're supposed to do. If you're a household servant, you don't steal the silverware. Verse 10, okay, not stealing. You adorn the teaching of Elohim, our Savior, in every way. In other words, even if you're a servant in somebody's house, your behavior needs to be beyond reproach. That's the whole thing. He's the master of all. And verse 14. Boy, oh boy. Here, get ready to write verse 14. Psalm 130, verse 8. Psalm 130, verse 8. Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. 7, 6. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 26. And Acts 26, 18. Acts 26, 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 22. Romans 6, 1 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And Titus Matthew 16:27. Matthew 16:27. Okay. And verse 15, speak these matters, urge and convict or confute with all authority. In other words, if you have the authority, you know the word, you don't let anybody slip by with a bunch of claptrap and false teachings. You confront them. Look, this is not what it is in Scripture. Let no one despise you. Okay. Now we have chapter 3 of Titus. And I'm going to do a little explanation here at the front. Verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. All right, when they're subject to rulers and authorities, that is only if the rulers and authorities are issuing righteous orders, etc. If somebody tells you you have to eat pork, you don't obey. You have to go do this and it's wrong, you don't do it. As long as they are giving righteous orders, you do it. But if it goes against scriptures, you're not to do it. Scripture first, okay? Verse 2, not to slander anyone, not to be quarrelsome, to be gentle, showing all meekness to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, led astray, serving various lusts and pleasures, pardon me, living in evil and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of Elohim, our Savior, toward man appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his compassion, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the set-apart Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, that having been declared right by his favor, we should become heirs according to the expectation of everlasting life. Trustworthy is the word, and in this regard, I wish you to strongly affirm that those who have believed in Elohim should keep their minds on maintaining good works. This is good and profitable to men. Again, he warns about some stuff. Verse 9. But keep away from foolish questions and genealogies and strife and quarrels about the Torah, for they are unprofitable and useless. Verse 10, listen to this. Reject a divisive man after the first and second warning, knowing that such a one has been perverted and sins, being self-condemned. When I shall send Artemis to you, or to Kikos, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey so that they lack not at all. And our brothers should also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs so that they shall not be without fruit. All those with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the belief. Favor be with you all. Amen. All right. This is the sign-off thing. He's saying things to Titus himself. Verse 9, keep away from foolish questions and genealogies. The Greeks were always trying to trace their ancestry back to the Greek gods. And that's what he's talking about. Foolish questions and genealogies. There are no Greek gods. There's only one Elohim, and that is Yahweh. So don't get involved in this nonsense. And strife and quarrels about the Torah. Picky, 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 picky. Don't be a legalist. Don't be so picky. It's pretty clear what it says. You don't have to try to do what the Talmudists do and add all this extra stuff and cause problems with it. Verse 10, if you get somebody that's in the congregation that's always creating controversy, he's dividing the congregation, he's coming in and deliberately causing controversy, it says reject him after the first and second warning because he's perverted and he sins and he is self-condemned by his actions. Okay, if he's deliberately tearing up the congregation, he's not there for good purposes. Okay, he's an infiltrator and a shill, and you need to get rid of him. You can't have him keep coming and causing trouble. You got to keep these troublemakers under control. In other words, he is a troll. using an internet term. That's an apt description. He's a troll. Verse 12. When I shall send Artemis to you or to Kikos, do your best to come to be at Nicopolis. In other words, they will take over his duties. And he wants Titus to come to him. Reference Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Acts 20, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Colossians 4, 7 and 8, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, 2 Timothy 4, verse 12. Verse 13, do your best to send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey so that they lack none at all. You can reference Acts 18, verse 24, Acts 18, 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 16, 12. And that ends the book of Titus. Okay? So now we're going to get into the next little book. It is very short, called Philemon, and it's Philemon, actually. It's not a PH, it's just a P, Philemon. And I'll get into this. It's another one of these letters. It's just one chapter. So I'm going to read the whole thing and then go back through it and give you all the chapter notes and reference, etc., etc. And it starts out with the standard greeting that Shaul uses. Shaul, a prisoner of Messiah Yeshua, and Timotheus, the brother, to Philemon, our beloved one and fellow worker. and Aphia, our sister, and Archippos, our fellow soldier, and the assembly at your house. Favor to you and peace from Elohim, our Father, and the Master Yeshua Messiah. I always thank my Elohim when I mention you in my prayers. Hearing of your love and the belief which you have toward the Master Yeshua and toward all the set apart ones. So that the sharing of your belief might become working in the knowledge of all the good which is in you toward Messiah Yeshua. For we have much love and the encouragement in your love because the tender affections of the set apart ones have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, although I have much boldness in Messiah to command you what is fitting, because of love, I rather appeal, being such a one as Shaul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Yeshua Messiah, appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I brought forth while in my chains, who formerly was of no use to you, but now is of good use to you and to me, whom I sent back to you, and receive him, that is, my own tender affections, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might serve me in my chains for the good news. But without your opinion, I wish to do none at all, so that your good deed should not be by way of necessity, but voluntary. For he parted for a while, possibly because of this, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Master. So, if you regard me as your partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you whatever, put that on my account. I, Shaul, wrote with my own hand, I shall repay, not to mention to you that you indeed owe yourself to me also. Yes, brother, let me derive pleasure from you in the Master. Refresh my tender affections in the Master. Trusting in your obedience, I wrote to you, knowing that you shall do even more than I say. And at the same time also prepare a place for me to stay, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given to you. Epaphras, fellow prisoner of me in Messiah Yeshua, greets you. And Marcos, Aristarchos, Demas, Lucas, my fellow workers, the favor of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with your spirit. Amen. And that ends Philemon. Now I'll go through the whole thing and give you all the references. This is another one of the workers, and he's sending this greeting. At this point, he has been freed from captivity in Rome temporarily. And he can travel, and he's going to go see these people. He wrote this one with his own hand. Some of the stuff he did, some of the stuff he dictated. because of his vision problem. Verse 2, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the assembly at your house, reference Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Colossians 4, 17. Now, he's asking, you know, don't do this because I have authority as the main disciple here. I'm not commanding you to do anything. I'm just asking this, you know, of you as a favor. Verse 10. He's talking of someone who is his child. Well, that's... he's not actually a child. A child is a metaphor. He's young in the faith and a new Christian. Okay. Verse 10. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I brought forth while in my chains. In other words, when he was locked up. He's no longer locked up. Who was formerly of no use to you, but now is of good use to you and to me. Well, he's now becoming useful because he's learned and he's starting to be obedient. And, he's going to be a worker in Yeshua. And for verse 10, you can reference Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. Colossians 4, 9. We go all the way down here. It goes on and on about this person, how he's going to be of use. And in verse 22, Epaphras, fellow prisoner of me and Messiah Yeshua, greets you. He sends a hello from somebody else. They all knew one another. They were traveling around and helping the various congregations. And for verse 23, you can reference Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. Colossians 1, 7. And Colossians 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, 12. Verse 24 references all these other people. Marcos, that's Mark, okay. Aristarchos, Demas, Lucas, that's Luke, okay. These are disciples. My fellow workers. They were followers and workers, and they went all over, and they were all compatriots. And for verse 24, you can reference the book of Acts. These are all these references are for Acts right now. Chapter 12, verses 12 and 25. 12 and 25. Acts 13, verse 13. Acts 13, 13. Acts 15, verses 37 through 39. 19, 29. Acts 19, 29. And Acts 27, verse 2. So these are Acts 12, 12 and 25, 13, 13, 15, 37 through 39, 19, verse 29, and 27, verse 2. You can also reference Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 and 14. Colossians 4, 10 and 14. 13 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 10 and 11. That's 2 Timothy 4, 10 and 11. And that ends the little book of Philemon. Okay? We are going to be getting into Hebrews on the next show. There will be 4 shows on Hebrew because Hebrews is much larger, and it's got a lot of notes, and I don't want to really rush through Hebrews. I have a set schedule for these shows, but the shows have to be tailored around the Word. I should not hurry, okay? There's no rush. So I like to be very thorough when I do these readings. I have done a lot of research and a lot of work, and I have a lot of notes on some of the books. Some of the books do not have a lot of notes. They just don't. You know, they're just writings, and you read them. And there's pieces and parts in there that are edifying, and the other stuff is just communications between folks, Paul and someone else. Hebrews has a tremendous amount of scripture quotations. It is not like the other books. He doesn't just run on. There are breaks in Hebrews, and I will be going back to the original format when I go into Hebrews, where I will give chapter notes, etc., etc. I won't read an entire chapter, which is necessitated by these other letters. They were written in a letter form. But Hebrews is somewhat different, and it requires the old format where I will go do verse numbers, etc., etc., which I have not done in these short little letter versions. So that wraps that up. I will be getting into Hebrews on the next show, and it will be 4 shows in series. And then I will be getting into James, and then 1 Peter, and 2 Peter, and then John, you know, 1 John, and then 2 John and 3 John. Those are very small books. So we're making good progress in the new covenant here. I'm looking, well, I'm in December now, and I will have recorded all of these this month, but I'll have them in the can, and they won't play all the way. Revelations will finish up early in about the middle of January of 2019. It's been a long, wonderful road doing these scriptures, and I hope you have enjoyed it. I have a great passion for the Word, and I hope you have developed some of that yourself, and that you have gotten something out of my readings and teachings. I have been blessed by Yahweh, and I want to pass a lot of the knowledge that He has given me on, and I will be doing all the shows. When I get done with Word for Word, I'm probably going to start putting all the Word for Word shows on zip drives and making them available. So we will see what we will see coming down the home stretch here. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride. And I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed doing it. So I'm going to play a little music and then bow out. And I'll catch you on the next show. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Can't you?